Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all here this morning, particularly those that are visiting and have just arrived just to enjoy the food. We're so glad that you're here this morning, and family and larger family and friends. So good to have you all with us today. Well, it was back in 2023 that I received what I would call the greatest Father's Day gift ever. I had become a father. It was from Wendy, yeah. Anyway, 1998 was when I first became a dad. And since that day, I've waited for that gift that I thought kind of summed up who I am as a dad. And when this gift arrived back in 2023, I realized that my kids understood what type of dad I was. And so when I opened the little book of dad jokes that particular day back in 2023, my kids obviously touched my heart in ways that they'd never touched before. Let me just read to you the back of this book. For decades, dads have always believed they were hilarious. Repeating and recycling the same puns and one-liners, rarely changing them. Rarely making anyone laugh either. Yet today, dad jokes are almost revered as an anthem, a guilty pleasure, a pure form of comedy, cool, a form of joke telling so bad that it transcends being funny. Let me give you a taste of some of the quality that we've got here. Why should you not trust stairs? They're always up to something. Thank you. Can I get an amen? What do you call it when a hen looks at a lettuce? A chicken Caesar salad. Get your pens out. Get your phones out. Surely there's one more here. What do you call it when one cow spies on another? A stakeout. If you want to borrow this book, get in line. Little book of dad jokes. Well, we live in a culture where, sadly, there's a lot of confusion, I think, in this time and in this history in regard to men and dads. Things have got difficult. There have been cultural shifts, changes to family ideals, and the way often media and marketing represents men to the world. Often you'll watch an ad and it represents a man as being either clumsy, stupid, or can't live without sport, beer and betting. Somehow our identity, particularly in Australia, has to have some component of that. We're seen as often untrustworthy, unsure how to treat women, and I'm the first to say that we haven't done well at that, men, anyway. But there's even greater confusion now. Men are perceived as angry, frustrated. Sometimes they're happy if they're doing the things that they want. Sometimes they're knowledgeable. Maybe they're wealth hungry. Even in recent weeks, that's why my voice is a bit croaky. I was at the Swans game yesterday. Very passionate Swans fan. But unfortunately, as we know, some high-profile players in recent weeks have chosen to do some things that have bought not only their own lives and sadly some victims as well in that particular expression. I thought about it and I thought it can take years to build a reputation but a moment to destroy it. And I look at someone like Isaac Heaney, who was so revered not only by the AFL fans but young children looking up, and then that's to be stripped away in a moment. And sadly, the question that was flowing around in the media is basically, can men be trusted? What are the examples that we have in this world? Where do we look? Because we look for examples. A young boy growing up is always looking around to see who he can be like. Who carries qualities that he or even she can aspire to? Maybe our own dads, and we all have had a dad, whether we have known them or not. Maybe they have lived up to expectations we've had. I know many people whose fathers have passed from this earth and still live trying to understand that relationship. The brokenness continues. The grief that people feel at a funeral is not just the loss of a loved one, but the loss of a relationship never known. We live in difficult times. Who are the people that have character and integrity? We look to our politicians, maybe. We will be fairly, sadly, discouraged. Who are the men that stand up in our world to say, I'm going to set an example to follow? I think of the men in my life, my dad. I've spoken a little bit about him. He showed his love by action. He never said the words, I love you. He wasn't a holding dad. And I'm, if you've ever done the love languages, there's a book out there. Mine's physical touch. And so my dad would always just shake my hand and I'd go, Dad, I don't want a handshake. I want a cuddle sometimes. But he cared for me in the way that he knew. I've had other men in my life, other people who have stepped in the gap at certain times. My eldest brother, who's been so significant for me. Interesting, the Bible actually helps us sometimes. Over in a book called Hebrews, it talks about, in chapter 11, a whole lot of people who were known for faith in God. And they're lifted up as an example to us, as people that we should aspire to be like. And even though they had faith at work in their life, they also had some other qualities. Let me read some of these qualities and think, are these qualities that you could say about yourself? They were obedient. They were patient. How many of us feel patient? They had life rhythms that were honouring to God. They could be trusted with important things. They understood what it meant to show humility, genuine humility, not humility with an intention to prize something from someone else. They showed authenticity. They asked for forgiveness when they got it wrong. How many people do that well? How many of us use the word sorry? They were patient in suffering. They knew the importance of prayer. Words like integrity and honesty were things to be aspired to, not just ideals that were talked about. They understood their weakness. David, for example, after doing some pretty horrible things, always found himself on his knees before God, crying out for God to create in him a clean heart, to renew his spirit. They cried out for God's mercy regularly. They were part of his deliverance plan. Even with their failings and their uncertainties and fears, God could use them mightily because their hearts were submitted to him. They stood in confidence in God when others decided to go in a different direction. They didn't go with the crowd or the flow of society when they knew that that was not what God intended. They were betrayed, they were abandoned, but they stood firm. And as the writer finishes this chapter, he then begins chapter 12, and I want to just highlight some verses here. He says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses of your life? Who are the people that you look to and aspire to be like? Men, women, parents, dads, mums. Who are the people that you can look at and say, there is a witness. There is someone that I can look at who can show me something of who God is, how to live life authentically on this earth. He continues, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What are the things that are sabotaging your potential? What are the things that seem to always entangle you as you try to move forward in life? What are the things you need to let go of? And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Each of us has a path to walk in this life. I don't walk your path. You don't walk mine. But we're invited to run that with perseverance. What is perseverance? Don't give up. Keep going. Life is hard. Life is not easy. We'll never promise that. But we're encouraged to persevere, to stay on track, to ask God to help us to walk in step with His Spirit, to not embrace the world's counterfeit version of my life, but to embrace God's best version of who I am meant to be in this world. Don't give up. Don't choose the easy path. Choose the path that is less traveled, the one that God intends for you, that brings life and true transformation. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then these final words, if we're looking for an example, it says this: fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the pioneer because He has carved the way for us. He came to this world. He lived on this earth. He understands this world. He understands the pressures, the temptations, the challenges, and He overcame those things. He's the pioneer, but He's also the perfecter because He walked that path perfectly. And He invites us to walk a path of transformation like He walked. And that whatever we face in this life, whatever we do in this life, we can look to the example of Jesus and find comfort, hope, and encouragement. He's our greatest example. His character, His qualities, they are worth aspiring to. We can trust in Jesus. Even though our earthly dads at times will fail us, we can look to Jesus and He will never fail us. His Spirit will dwell in our lives. He will shape us. And the very qualities that we seek, that we look for in others, Jesus Christ will grow in us to become more like Him. But we must fix our eyes on Jesus, not straying, not being distracted towards sometimes our selfish ways, but being focused on His intention for us. I read this quote and I thought I might finish with this, and it's one for men. Men, slow down and take a deep breath. Stop and enjoy the time God has given us. Learn to be with people. Learn to listen to those that we have relationship. Rather than just doing things for them, learn to listen to them. This is what our world needs. This is what our families need. And this is what we need to be strong, to be genuinely courageous, to be a man of God, to be the man God wants you to be deeply and fully involved in your marriage or in your family or in your relationships, and pursue them with the desire to care for those that God has entrusted us to love. I don't know about you this morning, but like, I want to be the best version of the man God's created me to be. I just happen to be a husband and a parent, a pastor. That's the path God has laid before me. What's the path God has laid before you? I'm not responsible for that. You are. What direction are you heading in? Are you off course? What do you need to do this morning in your heart to get back on track? Let me pray for us. Lord God Almighty, we thank You for the reminder in Your word that there are many examples for us throughout the scriptures. There are many examples for us, even in our own lives, of people who carry the qualities and characteristics of men and women that we would aspire to be more like. Father, this world is often a difficult world to navigate. Relationships are difficult. Family relationships are difficult. But you remind us this morning that if we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, things can look differently. There'll be peace in times of trouble. There'll be wisdom in times of uncertainty. There'll be encouragement in times of fear. I want to pray for each person in this room this morning, Lord. You know our hearts. You know where our lives are at this point. You know the trajectory of our lives. Lord, are we off track? Are we not where we should be? Are we making decisions that are detrimental? God, help us this morning to choose you again. Lord Jesus, we want to say, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to see you. And loving Father, I pray for those in the room that maybe today is a difficult day, a day of grief, a day of frustration, of a relationship with a dad that has never been. God, would you comfort their hearts? Would you remind them today that you are a faithful and loving Father who never fails, whose love never changes. Lord, as we go from here today, may you be with us, those that go to be with family, bless their time. Let us be thankful for community and for family. It's a blessing that you've given us. And thank you for the beautiful day that is out there for us to enjoy. In Jesus' precious name, amen.